Why live a normal life when you could be living the abundant life? Welcome to the Abundant Life Program with Ashley and Carly Terades.
Hello and welcome to Abundant Life. We're so glad you're here. Thanks for joining us today. We got a great program for you today. My name's Ashley Terades and this is my wife Carly. And praise God, we've got a program on faith today. We're talking about everyday faith. Mm-hmm. And we're right in the middle of a series, and we're excited because it's a powerful series. This is talking mm-hmm. about everyday faith.
Right.
Not faith that's out there, airy-fairy faith, but everyday faith you can use in everyday life, praise mm-hmm. God. So we want you to go to our website after the show, not during the show, unless you've got another device. Don't turn the show off and go to the website is what I'm trying to say. Anyway, so you can go to our website, it's terradesministries.com. That's terradesministries.com. And I want to make you aware of this. This is Carly's teaching on who do you think you are?
Who do you think you are?
Sometimes she says this to me. She says, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are is about who you are in Christ. And this will really help you. Now, until you realize who you are in Christ, it's going to be hard for you to believe the things. So get this teaching. It's on our website. Who do you think you are? And inside this teaching, you can get one of these confession cards.
Yep, it's right there inside the CD.
In the CD. So and this confession card is powerful. These are all the scriptures of who you are in Christ, praise God. I lack no good thing. I'm placed and seated with Him. I'm part of a chosen generation. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm a party waiting to happen. I'm a bearer of good news, and so on and so forth. There is tons of good scriptures on who you are in Christ. So go to our website, terradesministries.com, and get your copy, praise God.
In fact,
we'll give you one of these if you go to our website, right there on our homepage. Give us your details, we'll send you one free of charge.
Can't beat the price. No refunds
on that free offer,
Amen.
Praise God. So we're in the middle of a series called Everyday Faith, like I said, and this is actually going to be available as well as a teaching. So you can go to our website
and
get this whole series on faith, mm-hmm. praise God. And we've already covered a bunch of things. It's been exciting. We've looked at a bunch of scriptures. But today we're going to look at, what are we going to look at, Carly?
Well,
tell me. I know, obviously.
We started out last time talking about the importance of what we believe directly impacting what we can receive. We mentioned Matthew 9:21 when Jesus said to the blind man, do you believe I'm able to do this? Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, basically, according to your faith, let it be to you. Your faith has made you well, mm-hmm. you know. And there's many, many different times that we can go into when a similar scenario happened. But the faith, our faith, what we believe, what we are putting our trust in, directly impacts what we can receive. So we are the variable. God's already made His mind up.
Right.
You know, actually, when Jesus is given, He's going through the model prayer.
Right.
He says, as in heaven, you let your will be done on the earth.
Right.
Right.
As it is in heaven,
your will be done here on the earth. You see, God's will has already been made up regarding all of the promises of God. Amen.
Right.
And so, you know, specifically healing, though,
right.
you know, this is one of the biggest areas. We've actually got a whole course called Healed and Whole
right.
that tackles just specifically healing. But when we're talking about faith, there are many people I know that will be watching this that are believing God for a miracle or for a healing.
Right.
And one thing that's really important to know is God's will is already made up regarding the area of healing. Jesus had a healing ministry,
right?
That's why He could say with confidence, you know what, God, you as His will is in heaven, so it be so on the earth.
Amen.
And that's why He went around healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils.
Amen. Everybody that came to Jesus
everybody.
For healing was healed.
Everybody.
And Jesus said to Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So
that's
Jesus
right.
was the perfect representation of God the Father. And God the Father's will is to heal every time.
Amen.
So if you're believing for a healing, I want you to know today, God wants you well.
Absolutely.
God wants you healed
100%.
More than you want to be healed. But you know what? It takes faith, and that's what we're going to talk about today.
Amen. And the variable, like we said, God isn't deciding who gets healed and who doesn't, but we as believers are the variable. And so I want to jump right in here. This is a familiar story to many people, but this is in Mark chapter 9, and it's the incident when Jesus meets the father of the epileptic boy.
Mm.
And there are so many different teaching points in this, but we're going to jump right in to verse 17. It says, then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. And then look at Jesus' response. He says, he answered him and said, oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. That doesn't sound real compassionate, does it?
It's not very encouraging.
Not very encouraging. Oh, faithless generation. You know what? If you really study this out, what he's talking about there is not that they didn't have faith, but it's talking about that they were unbelieving.
Right.
Now, that's quite different, isn't it?
Right.
You know, when we really get into the original text and we start to understand what these words really mean, it didn't mean that they didn't have faith. They had faith, but they were also struggling in the area of unbelief. Now, if any of you have ever seen anybody have a seizure, you'll know that it's a very visually disturbing sight, right? I mean, you went through this with me, didn't you?
Yeah. Carly was had grand mal seizure epilepsy when I met her. So for the first, I think, 2 or 3 years of our marriage, she used to have seizures regularly, and she couldn't be left on her own with the kids. She couldn't have a driving license, couldn't drive a car. I'm still not sure if she can drive a car. She's got a driving license. Whether she can drive a car or not.
Now, driving's not the issue. It's parking.
Parking.
I just abandoned it.
Parking's not her strong point, I will say.
I like lots of space.
Parking's not a strong point. But anyway, she couldn't have a driving license. She couldn't have a driver's license. She couldn't be left on her own. And because this type of epilepsy, I mean, it would when it came on her, she'd just go down the floor and have a seizure. Mm-hmm. I mal, wherever she was. I mean, we're talking about grand mal seizure epilepsy. So when you see that type of thing happen, it's very visual and it can be scary. I mean, the first time I saw it happen, it scared me because I was like, what's happening here? I mean, you're talking about muscles spasming and things like that. Very, very scary, and it can be frightening. So if people see this from the outside, you can see how it moves your heart, because you see that. It's very visual when someone's having a seizure like that, and it can move your heart.
Mm-hmm.
In case you didn't know, Carly was healed of that,
amen,
praise God, 14 years ago, and she's never had one seizure, never had one bit of doctor's treatment. She was on 11 different medications, completely quit those, and she's 100% healed, praise God. Now she has a driver's license, and she can be left on her own. Unsupervised, which is pretty good.
So
this is very visual. When someone has a seizure, it's very visual. And I think this is one of the things that went on here with this, in this incident, is that, you know what, the disciples, they were healing people. Jesus showed them how to heal people. They were healing people, but
they
were
using their faith.
Yeah, but
it wasn't that they didn't have faith.
Right, and the father said to him, you know, they can't heal this one. I'm wondering if it was because it was so visual, it scared them, or they didn't know how to deal with it.
Exactly, and so there's a couple of things I want to bring out here. It wasn't that the disciples didn't have faith, but they were struggling with what we'd call a natural unbelief. Mm-hmm. They were just moved at heart level by what they saw with their eyes. I mean, and many of us have found ourselves in those sorts of situations where the natural world is more real to us than the spiritual world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, faith operates in the spiritual world, as we've been talking about all through this course. It's not based on our natural five senses. It's not moved by emotion. It's above all of those things. It's operating in a spiritual realm. But what Jesus did here was he did something that the disciples could not do or would not do at that moment. And that's what he stepped into the realm of faith. He looked beyond the natural drama that was going on in front of him.
Right.
See, the disciples in that moment, they were just moved by what they saw. They were unable to operate in the realm of faith, not because they had no faith, but because the natural circumstances were more real to them. But Jesus moved beyond that, and he said, look at his response. He says, bring them to me. And they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, fell on the ground, and wallowed foaming at the mouth. So he asked the Father, this is Jesus, how long has this been happening to him? And he said to him, from childhood.
You can imagine, I don't know about you, but you know, when I read these stories, I really want to make sure I'm visualizing them and imagining them. And I'd really encourage you, whatever the stories you're reading, whatever parts of the Bible you're reading, these things actually happen. So imagine what it would be like. And I was imagining this. To me, it's like, all of a sudden, the child, the boy, throws down on the ground, you know, and starts convulsing, starts having a fit. That's a very visual thing, you know, very, you know, creates attention. Jesus, to me here, totally didn't bat an eyelid, didn't even, you know, didn't get moved or anything. Just turned to the father, like, very casually. So how long has this been going on for? I mean, full on
kind of like a
drama.
Doctor.
Yeah, full on drama. Someone's having a full on seizure fit, convulsing on the floor, and he just turns to the father pretty casually and says, so how long's this been going on for then?
Right.
And that's an interesting response. Mm-hmm. Rather than getting moved with the need, he was more moved in getting the root of it dealt with.
Right. Because you see, Jesus had already seen the end result.
Mm-hmm.
He'd already been there in his mind. He'd already seen where this was going to go. He knew that healing was God's will. He wouldn't doubt in that. He was just about to perform what he saw the Father doing.
Right.
So that part was a foregone conclusion. But look at what he says to the Father. This is really important. Jesus says, so the Father explains, you know, this has been happening from childhood, and often he has thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, Jesus, have compassion on us and help us. Now, we've mentioned that faith has some characteristics, right? and that faith has an attitude. We've talked about various examples in the scriptures of people of attitude. David, when he's running after Goliath, he had attitude, right? That faith sees in the spiritual realm and way beyond the natural realm. That faith is even, it's a having and a taking, not a hoping and a wishing,
right?
So what does this sound like to you? Does this sound like faith, or does this sound like, you know, just desperation?
Hoping and a wishing.
Yes, a hoping and a wishing. But Jesus knew, see, faith has to be present in order to receive, because faith is how we receive the promises of God. So he wanted to bring this father into a place of faith.
Right.
Because, you know, this is a whole other subject that we'll get into further in another lesson. But unbelief is a real problem.
Right.
You know, he'd already said, "Oh, faithless generation." In other words, there was some unbelief present in the disciples. And he'd met this father that's like, "You know, look, Lord, if you can do anything."
Right.
That's hardly the place of faith that says, "You know what? I'm taking it. I'm having it. It's mine."
Right.
So he had to do something to bring him into a place of faith. So he starts having conversation with him. He says, and Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." So there's the father saying, Jesus, if you can do anything.
Right, putting it on to God.
Put it right onto Jesus.
Jesus, please, you know, please help me.
Don't believers still do that today?
How many times have we been guilty of this?
Like, it's all up to him to decide what you receive.
It's an easy trap to fall into. Mm-hmm. It's easy to be like, "God, please help me. God, please do something. God, please make it happen." You know, and it's almost like we're putting it on to God. And you know what? God's really putting it on to us. He's already given us the power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm thinking of the wind and the waves and the storm. You know, Jesus said to the disciples, you know, he commanded the wind and the waves to stop.
Right.
And he said to the disciples, you know, basically turned to them and said, "You could have done this."
Mm-hmm.
Feeding the 5,000, he said, "You give them something to eat."
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said to the disciples, the disciples could have performed that same miracle that Jesus performed. And here, there's a father saying, "Oh, Jesus, please. And I've got empathy. If you're going through a storm, if you're believing for healing, if you've got a loved one that's believing for healing, whatever your situation is, I sympathize with you. I mean, this is it could be a terrible situation. But let me tell you, just throwing your hands up and saying, "Oh God, please help me," is not the position you want to be in. You want to be in a position of faith. You want to be in a position of believing God's word and stepping out by faith, praise God, and actually grabbing what's already yours.
Right. That's a position of strength.
Amen.
So he says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. This word believe actually is the word pisteo, right? And it means to have faith, to be persuaded, to have confidence in, trust in, or commit unto. Jesus was saying, if you can be fully persuaded, if you can wrap your mind around, if you can have confidence in me, then you can receive. And really, that's the place where I think lots of Christians find themselves in difficulty. Because like you were saying, you know, it's almost like we're passive. You know, this father was coming to Jesus and he was kind of passive.
Mm-hmm.
But look at, this is the grace of God, right? Even if we're not necessarily in the place where we can step out in faith by ourselves and take it, it's mine.
Right.
God meets us in that place of need. This is the grace and the love of God. Look at Jesus' response to him. The father said of the child, cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief."
Mm.
You know, I want to believe with everything I can, but I'm just not in the place where I can take it yet.
Right.
You know, I'm going to need you to help me, but I believe it's possible.
Right.
Right? Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And it's almost like he was coming to Jesus and saying, "You know what? I'm in that place of hope. I know what I want. I know it's possible, but I need someone to stand in agreement with me."
Right.
And I know there are many of our viewers that are watching that are just in that place. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief.
Yeah.
And let me tell you that God's there for you too.
Amen.
Amen. That healing's there for you too. That provision is there for you too. And, you know, receiving from God, one of the first steps is being real with ourselves and honest with our own heart. Like, what can I believe God for right now?
Mm.
And it might be that you're saying, you know, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief."
Right.
I believe that it's your will. I believe it's possible. But Lord, help my unbelief.
Right.
Man, that's the first step. We've got to be honest with our own heart, right? Sometimes. So Jesus said, he saw the people running together and rebuked the unclean spirit. "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter him no more." He says, and the spirit convulsed him, left him immediately. And the disciples in verse 28, says they asked, "Why could we not cast it out?" And so he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." Now, I just want to make sure that people are clear on this point because it can cause confusion. Sometimes people take this and think, well, there are some demons that are especially strong.
That's what I used to believe. I used to believe, you know, there's some super demons.
super demons.
They're beyond normal demons, and the only way you can get those cast out is if you pray and fast. It's like you have to level up. You have to level up yourself before you can match their level.
And that's not what this means.
And then I used to get thinking, well, how would the demon know that you've been praying and fasting? And how does that work? I don't understand. Why is there some demons that... If we say that, then we're saying that, you know, you need more than just the name of Jesus. You need more than just, you know, his name alone. You need the name of Jesus plus you need prayer and fasting. That's not true. So what is Jesus talking about here? He's not talking about this kind of demon, right?
No. So remember, this is in the context of dealing with unbelief. When Jesus enters into this situation, he says, who is this faithless generation? Why are you so unbelieving? This whole passage is in the context of unbelief. Prayer and fasting says this kind of what? This kind of unbelief. Not this kind of demon, this kind of unbelief, okay? And can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. What prayer and fasting does is, you know, it doesn't move God. Right? It's not like by sitting and starving ourselves, somehow God is sitting thinking, wow, you know, they're being so spiritual.
I better do something.
They're starving themselves. I better do something before they, you know, faint with hunger.
I used to think fasting was like a hunger strike, basically. You go on hunger strike and then God moves. That's what I used to think before I realized the truth.
And you know, there's one thing that pleases God according to Hebrews, and that's faith.
Right.
You know what? It does take faith to go on a fast. It's the faith, and it's not the faith that's moving God, right? But it's the faith to enter into the promises of God. So when we're in prayer and fasting, what we're doing is we're saying to our flesh, you know what? These natural circumstances, you do not rule me.
Amen.
These natural circumstances that I'm looking at, you do not control me. I'm looking into the realm of faith, which is beyond how I feel. It's beyond my carnal five senses.
Right.
And you know, there is nothing... It says that, was it the stomach is the way to the man's heart?
Right.
Something like that, right?
Let me tell you, when you fast, when I'm fasted, this is what happens to me. I say, I'm going on a fast, and my body will tell me you're going to die. And you say, you're starving, you need to feed your diet. And that's like 10 minutes has gone by. And normally I wouldn't be hungry in 10 minutes. Fast between meals, I fast at night, whatever it is. But I'm telling you, your body will say, your flesh is going to say, you're going to die. And you say, you know what, flesh? Well, you don't need food right now. And you actually, what you're doing is you're actually showing showing your flesh that you're in charge, that your spirit is more in charge than your flesh. And you're actually getting rid of that unbelief because your body, your natural body, your flesh will speak to you. And it will tell you things. It will tell you about pain and about how, you know, you're not going to make it and things like that. It's just carnal. It's just natural. But when you fast, you're putting the spiritual above the natural. You're putting the Word of God above the natural. And you say, no, we're going to actually pay more attention to the Word of God than we are to food. And when you do that, I'm telling you, it's like your flesh is like an ornery. They say ornery in England, in America. In England, they don't say ornery. What do they say? Like cheeky.
Angry?
Or angry.
I don't know.
A little toddler I'm thinking of.
Like mischievous?
Mischievous. It's like a spoilt toddler, you know? It's like 2 years old and it wants the candy bar and it just, you say no and it's just going to have a fit. Ah, I want the candy bar. I want the toy or whatever it is, you know? And they just have a fit. That's how our flesh is. Our flesh is like a toddler. I'm telling you, you say no to your flesh, it's amazing. Your flesh will have a fit. Mm-hmm. And it'll say, no, I want it. And that could be anything. You could apply this to stewarding your finances. You could apply this to dieting. You could apply this to anything. But when it comes to fasting, what you're doing is you're saying, God, your word, I'm putting your word and I'm putting the spiritual truths above my natural flesh, above my natural reasoning. And it works. It's powerful. It can really help with unbelief.
Right.
Now, it doesn't change God. Fasting doesn't move God. I used to think fasting moves the arm of God. You know, it's like if you fast, then God's got to have to do something because, you know, you must be serious if you're fasting. God's already made up his mind. All the promises of God are yes and amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So you're not doing anything to God, but you're changing yourself. It's for yourself. You're changing your own perspective and you're moving into the spiritual realm when you fast. And it's powerful.
It is. So, you know, faith operates in the realm of the unseen. Right? It operates in the realm of the spiritual, in things that are eternal, not things that are seen with our natural eyes. You know, I want to show you this. This is in John 20. And this is Thomas, okay? Thomas gets a bit of a bad rap, bless him. Doubting Thomas, right? It says, so Thomas says, this is after the resurrection of the Lord. In verse 25, it says, the other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. And so he said to them, well, unless I see his hands and the print of his nails, and I put my finger into the print of his nails and my hand into his side, I will not believe.
Wow.
You know what? There are many Christians like that today. Unless I see healing manifest, I'm not going to believe in it.
Right.
Unless I see something happen, I'm not going to believe in it. And this is the problem because faith operates in the realm of the unseen.
Mm-hmm.
In Corinthians, it says we believe and we walk by faith and not by sight. They say if we're going to operate in faith, which is how we access the promises of God that grace has provided, we've got to remove ourselves from being so obsessed with having to see it first.
Right.
So look at this. It says, and after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. And Jesus came, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, said, peace to you. And he said to Thomas, reach your finger here, look at my hands, reach your hand in here, put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.
Right.
And look at Thomas's response. Thomas said, my Lord, my God. Jesus says to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are you who have not seen and yet have believed.
Wow.
If we want to operate in the realm of faith and access everything that God has for us and be believing rather than unbelieving, we have to, the unseen, the eternal, the Word of God, which is our spiritual mirror, needs to be more real to us than our five senses.
Amen.
Man, that's quite challenging, isn't it? But look at the benefits. Verse 30 says, and truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe, and that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name.
Amen.
That word for life isn't just like living. This is the Zoe life. Mm-hmm. That's what it means, Zoe. And it actually means the absolute fullness of life, a vigorous, a full of vitality, a real, the genuine life. If we want to be the kind of believers that receive everything that God has for us,
mm-hmm,
and walk in victory, that means living a life that's spiritually minded.
Amen.
Amen. Romans 8:6. To be spiritually minded is life, is Zoe life, is real, it's vigorous, it's full of vitality. If we want to have that kind of life, we have to be spiritually minded rather than being carnally minded, which is death is what it says according to Romans 8:6.
Right, yeah, and it's you know, it takes a decision to, mm-hmm, believe. You know, like Carly was saying, a lot of us are like, well, I'll believe when I see it. And we've prayed for hundreds of people in prayer lines that we say, you healed? Well, I haven't seen it. When I see it in my body, when I get the doctor's report or when I see it in my body, I know I'm healed. Mm-hmm. You know, we can either wait till we see it to believe it, or we can believe it and then we'll see it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, faith works the opposite to our natural thinking. Our natural thinking is, well, unless you see it, but there's a world that's more real than the physical world. That's the spiritual world. And I'm telling you, in the spirit, you are healed. In the spirit, you are blessed. In the spirit, you have everything you need, praise God, that pertains to life and godliness. You have everything you need to walk the victorious life. But you have to believe it, and it takes faith, because, mm-hmm, you can't see it with your natural eyes. But it takes faith to be able to believe it. And once you believe it, then you'll see it.
Amen.
So you believe it and then you'll see it, instead of the world says you've got to see it before you can believe it. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of you out there that are watching that says, well, I just need to see it. That you're talking about faking it. No, I'm talking about the spiritual world, which is more real than the natural world. The truth is, you might be struggling with something, but the truth, the Word of God says you are an overcomer.
Amen.
And when you start believing that and start putting that faith, it takes a renewing of your mind. It takes putting the Word of God in. There's no shortcut. You know, some people say, just pray for me, wave a magic wand. Cast out the unbelief. You can't do that. There's no shortcut. It comes by reading the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God. And as you meditate on the Word of God, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And as you meditate on the Word of God, you're going to find yourself starting to believe the promises of God. You're going to find yourself starting to believe things, you know, that aren't seen, spiritual, mm-hmm, things that aren't seen, praise God. And then you're going to be able to see God's power manifest in your life.
Yeah, I'm thinking about Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to live like the world lives. Yeah. We're called to live differently. We're called to live above. You know, we're citizens of heaven on loan to the earth.
Amen.
But because of that, you know, we have a responsibility to put the Word of God. If we want to have the benefits of the kingdom here on earth, we have to put the Word of God of greater value than even our flesh. And the only way that we cannot be conformed to this world is by the transforming of our mind, mm-hmm, right? And so that means spending time in the Word. That means, mm-hmm, digging into our relationship. We've mentioned this in previous sessions, that faith is part of our sonship. Mm-hmm. It's a fruit of our relationship with the King.
Mm-hmm.
It's understanding what we have deposited on the inside of us and choosing to magnify that over even the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
We've mentioned that our faith, the faith that we have, the faith of Jesus, the measure of faith, more than enough faith to raise the dead, is activated and becomes effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing that's in us in Christ Jesus, rather than looking at only at the natural.
Right, that's powerful.
That's powerful.
That's the key, really. That's the key to, mm-hmm, receiving. you know what? That's the key to receiving everything God's got for you. Praise God. And there's, like I said, there's no shortcut. But you know what? The Word of God, the Holy Spirit, you can do this. This isn't just for the super duper Christians. This isn't for people.
This is everyday faith.
Everyday faith. This is exactly. That's a shameless plug there. Everyday faith is a series we're working on right now, and it'll be available on our website. But I'm telling you, you do this, this can be every day. This can change your life every day. There's no circumstance beyond God that He can change for you, praise God. And just by believing, you'll see that change in the natural.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't that powerful?
Amen.
Praise God. We're out of time this time. We're gonna pray for you before we finish. Father God, I thank you for every person watching and listening to this show right now, Lord. I thank you, you know them. You know them exactly where they are. You know exactly what they're going through. And I thank you, Lord, you've provided everything they need by grace to be overcomers. You provide everything they need to receive their healing, to receive their victory, to receive their breakthrough. And right now, Lord, we agree with them by faith. And we agree with them by faith to reach out and accept what you've already paid for, accept what you've already given them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I know there's people watching right now. And you know, you're just so focused on the natural circumstance. And it might be a bad natural circumstance, but God's saying to you, not lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes above the natural circumstances. Look beyond. Look beyond the natural and see in the spiritual. See the promises that God has for you. Praise God. Look beyond your natural circumstances. And when you start believing, you'll see it in the natural. You'll see your natural circumstances change. That's a word for you right now. Receive that word. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Amen.
Lord.
Amen. God is good. We appreciate you watching. Again, if you want to leave us a testimony, if you've got a question for us, then go to our website. It's terradesministries.com. We'd love to hear from you. Praise God. We'll be back again to carry on this series on everyday faith. But until then, you know what? Don't just live a normal life. Why not live the abundant life? We'll see you next time.
To order your copy of this teaching, visit our website, terradesministries.com.
If you're a partner with this ministry, you're enabling us to spread the gospel literally around the world. We have people giving testimonies from all over the world about how they've been set free by these programs and by this teaching. So we want to thank you if you're a partner with us. If you're not a partner with us, we'd love to invite you to partner with us. You know what? Partners catch more fish.
Amen.
You know what? When Jesus told them, the disciples, to cast the net over the other side, praise God, they caught so many fish, they had to call partners to help receive it. We believe we have the spirit of increase in this ministry. We've got a big vision and we need some partners to help us with that. So we believe God's going to give seed to sowers. So if you want to partner with us, go to terradesministries.com/give and you can find out how you can partner with us today. We'd love for you to join us.
Coming up next on the Abundant Life program.
Is that when people are struggling to receive their healing in the natural, you know, people can be judgmental. Like, you know, why aren't you received yet? Or why haven't, you know, what's wrong with you type of thing. And, you know, a friend of mine, he really believes. He's like, you know what? I need to go to the doctor. I need to get the surgery. I need to get this surgery. And you know what? We can say, well, that's not God's best. No, I believe it is God's best to heal every time instantaneously. In fact, I'll go beyond that. I believe God's best for us is to never get sick in the first place.
Amen.
I believe God's best for us is to live in supernatural health and wellness. Never get sick, never need healing, never need doctors or anything. But you know what? God is so gracious and He loves us so much. He meets us where we're at. Like you're saying, He meets us with what we're prepared to believe for. And you know what? Some people, they just think, you know what? I want to believe for the surgery to go well and I'm believing for surgery. And then sometimes
that's their point of faith. And we can come into agreement with them there in that place of faith.
That it'll be a supernatural recovery and it'll go well.
That they won't have side effects or whatever.
It's sad for me when I see some Christians type of condemning other Christians saying, oh no, if you're going to do it, you've got to just go all out and believe. And
you've got to do it this way or faith doesn't work.